The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Shame and isolation, they're just some of the issues facing the families of drug addicts. That's according to a volunteer with the Family Addiction Support Network, who says that families who end up embroiled in drug addiction often endure years of chaos, anxiety and sleepless nights. I'm joined on the line by Family Addiction Support Network volunteer Jackie McKenna and Bishop Michael Rauter of Armagh. And Bishop Rauter, I might start with you. You have gone public on the matter of drug addiction and the drugs trade in border counties, particularly in County Louth. What caused you to decide to take a public stance on it?
Good morning, Anton. Well, I mean, I've been involved with FASN, which is the Family Addiction Support Network in Dundalk, since I came here as Bishop 2 years ago. But also I was involved before that with Jackie and Gwen McKenna, who are the founders of the support network. And I was involved in Cavan, where I worked as a priest. So I was very much involved in this particular area and had naturally enough to sort of a pastoral interest in the effects of drug addiction in communities, and particularly as it is spreading out of, I suppose, the urban areas to the rural areas. So since I came here, being involved with FASN, and I know they do fantastic work, they do great work in the community. There was over 250 families in the northeastern region that they dealt with last year. But I realised that they haven't got the funding that they need in order to keep that work going. They got pittance of funding this year, and effectively that funding ran out in June. They're now focusing a lot of their valuable time on fundraising in order to keep the doors open until next year at least. So I'm just using my voice, I suppose, in a sense, to draw attention to this and to try and to put a little bit of pressure perhaps on government, particularly on the HSC and on the Department of Justice and the minister that's responsible for the drug strategy, to try and see, can we clarify what the situation is with funding? Are we going to be able to keep these non-profit organisations going? There are so many of them around the country involved in the whole drug addiction scenario. And a lot of them are struggling. I mean, we had a meeting last week of the Northeastern Drugs and Alcohol Task Force, and a lot of people there, representatives of various different groups, expressed their deep frustration at not being able to get what is really a very small amount of funding, and having to go through to so many hoops in order to get that funding in the first place. And the vital work that they do, it's, a lot of it is people working on the ground, working with families and in communities that they know. It's peer-led, such as the Family Addiction Support Network. It's people who've been through that situation before,
well,
particularly.
I actually want to spend a little time talking specifically about that, about the work that is done, because you mentioned the 250 families that have been using the services of the Family Addiction Support Network. And Jackie McKenna, who you named earlier on, is with us. Jackie, for those 250 families, can you give us a sense of the type of issues that you see and the type of problems that involvement in drugs, in addiction and the drugs trade causes?
Yeah. Good morning, Anton, and good morning, Bishop Michael. It's great to have the opportunity to speak out on this and to create awareness of the issues, and also create the awareness that there is help out there for family members, that they don't need to suffer in silence. So we have hundreds of families throughout the Northeast who are suffering from psychological stress, ill health, financial difficulties, domestic violence, drug debt intimidation, and breakdown of family relationships because
what's
of
the main
drugs,
drugs,
and it's not their fault.
What are the drugs that we're talking about in most of these instances?
Well, according to statistics, alcohol is the biggest drug in Ireland that causes the most harm, and then it's right across the line down cannabis, down to heroin, down to cocaine, you name it. There isn't a place now, especially with COVID lockdown. You can ring up now and order a takeaway, beers and other drugs, and get it delivered to your door.
So people are delivering effectively Class A narcotics, heroin, cocaine, yes, cannabis to people's doors?
Yes. Yeah. So this has, as you can understand, an awful lot of stress within families, and because of the shame and the stigma that's associated with drugs and drug use within our communities, people don't want to be judged. Families don't want to be judged. They don't want the finger pointed at them every time they walk outside the door. They don't want to be the source of gossip all around the place and to be judged, as I said. So it's the last thing that they want to do is to bring it outside of the family and to go look for help. That's the hardest step for anyone to take, is to lift the phone. And when we get a phone call in, we know how hard it is for a family member, because their back is against the wall and it's the last thing that they want to do.
And Jackie,
but because they are desperate, that's what they do.
You mentioned a couple of issues there. The addiction itself being one, but then there's a whole series of subsidiary problems that that can cause. And one of the ones that you mentioned was the drug debt and what that does to families. Can you give us an instance, or give us a bit of a description of what kind of situations families find themselves in relation to drug debt and how they get there?
Okay, so how they get there, it can start off very, very small with a debt of as small as 50 euro that escalates into hundreds and into thousands of euros that families, when the person in addiction, when the person who's using drugs can't pay that, then organized crime gangs target the family members and call on the family members and demand the money from them. Otherwise, that person will be hurt, or the family intimidated, or shouted at by abuse. People are afraid to leave their houses. People's houses are trashed. People have been left homeless, and creating fear within the community. Fear in that other people or other family members and other people in the community don't want to become involved or can't help the people because of the fear of reprisals. So families are very much left in isolation on their own to cope with the whole fallout of the whole drug scene.
And to go back to you, Bishop Michael Ryder, how significant a problem do you see this being? Because you've been quoted as saying that you see it as a silent pandemic.
Yes. Yeah, I think it is a very significant problem. I think Jackie has outlined very well there what the situation is for quite a number of families. I think the tactic is to try and get young people addicted to drugs. And it can be very young, sometimes even just out of primary school. In the last week, we've been on radio and we've had articles in various different newspapers, and people talk to you afterwards and people say to you, oh, I know a 13-year-old in my area who is high all the time. You know, and that's really, it's really sad. It's really difficult. It's very difficult for the families to deal with, because I think there's an effort to try and get young people addicted so therefore they can be held over a barrel, in a sense. They can be intimidated into becoming dealers, maybe, or to store drugs in their house, or other services that they may be intimidated into providing. So it is a silent pandemic. It's not something that people talk about because they're afraid of bringing attention to themselves or to their family or to their loved one. But I mentioned, you know, it was talked about at the Drugs Task Force that, you know, even in rural areas, families have been put under pressure, and that there was it was noted that in the past year or so, that four family farms were sold in the Cavan Monaghan region in order to pay for drug debts. So you can just see how serious the problem is, because a farmer, you know, the land is his lifeblood. Basically, he's not going to sell it very easily. And to have to do that to try and get out of a situation, you can imagine the turmoil that is causing within families, because people just don't know where to turn to. And rather than having, you know, attacks on their house during the night or their house trashed or somebody beaten up or whatever, they're paying this money, which they don't have effectively, and they have to sell something such as land, which is so vital to their income, you know. So it is having a terrible effect, I think, across the board. And it's not just within the areas that we think of, not just within the socially deprived areas of various large urban areas. I think it has moved out to rural areas, and particularly over the last 10 years, I would have noticed that, but particularly when I was parish priest in a rural area of County Cavan as well, I would have noticed it there too. So, you know, I think it is a very serious problem.
And I think to some extent, Michael, that'll come as counterintuitive for a lot of people, because it is a problem that is usually associated with urban areas, with urban inner cities, but it's now endemic in rural Ireland, is what you're saying.
It is, I think, yeah. I mean, as I say, I've heard so many different stories of things that have happened, you know, where, you know, in places they're struggling perhaps to field a football team, because so many of the players of that age are on drugs or addicted to cocaine or whatever it may be, and that they're struggling actually to field a fully fit team. So that's a serious problem.
And what's the reaction when you challenge this? Because I assume both as a in your firm work as a parish priest and now as bishop, there are moments from the pulpit where you say this is unacceptable, the violence around it is unacceptable, the behaviour is unacceptable. What do the people involved say to you?
Well, you get very little reaction from from the people involved, but you do get stories from people who are the victims. You know, people who are suffering because of this, and you know, it's when you say something, people will actually open up a little bit and say, oh, you know, I know of some situation where a family is in trouble and or my family is in trouble, or I have a son who or daughter who has an addiction problem and we don't know what to do with them. You know, I mean, they're just they've gone off the rails completely. So you will hear. There will be feedback, but it's very hard to get any sort of wider reaction, any sort of conversation about drug use in Ireland. It's very hard to get that started.
And I assume
going,
as well,
you know,
and maybe Jackie, you might have a view on this. I assume it's also very difficult to solve the problem, because whatever about providing support to individual families to help them negotiate the issues that they find themselves challenged with, trying to stop the broader problem, Is it doable?
Can I just come in there,
please,
Anton? Please, yeah. You know, going back to what Bishop Ruta was saying about the silent pandemic, that really stood out for me in his statement last week, and I really believe that it is a virus within a virus, and that if left untreated, that it will kill. It'll kill the individual, but it will also kill our communities if the government don't invest in our communities. And it's not seen or reported because of the stigma that's attached to it, but is simmering away underground right across Ireland. Families are left to bear the brunt of it. Now, every one of us are living in what is now the normal drug culture. Every one of us are parenting and raising children in the drug culture. So it makes sense for the government to put in measures that will help protect the health and well-being of everybody in those communities. And people can't talk about it, but we can talk about it as the Family Addiction Support Network. We can be the voice of those people that are suffering in silence. We have commissioned a research report and launched it back in 2019 that stated the needs of families living with a loved one in addiction. Now, we can also influence policymakers at local, regional and national levels, which we have been doing. And the National Drug Strategy is brilliant, a great strategy on paper. The National Drug Strategy, Reducing Harm, Supporting Recovery, has actioned families for the first time ever in a national drug strategy. So the government needs to invest in communities by resourcing these projects on the ground and putting in those measures. And now that the National Family Support Network is defunct since April this year, it's so important that a representative is on the National Oversight Committee to bring the voices at the government level.
Gotcha.
Because in particular, between the around the drug debt intimidation, the drug debt report and intimidation project that was developed between the National Family Support Network and the An Garda Síochána. So if families aren't represented at a national level, how is the government ever going to
Just want to be clear, one thing that a lot of people are asking about, where can you get supports? The Family Addiction Support Network helpline is available, which is 087-904-6405. That's the Family Addiction Support Network helpline. It's 087-904-6405. And that was Jackie McKenna, who's a volunteer with the Family Addiction Support Network herself, and before her, Bishop Michael Rauter. If you want to get in touch with the show.